Today on Real Life Radio.
The end is coming. The day of vengeance is coming. Christ reserves the right that at any moment he will remove the church whenever he does that. That's his business. But it's going to happen. God has promised this. And what do we do with such things?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message titled The End, Part 1. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but you can be prepared for it. Peter has only a little time now left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. So his final warning is to prepare us about the danger of only knowing who Jesus is as opposed to having a relationship with him. You see, salvation doesn't come by just knowing God, but also having faith in God. When you humbly come before his son Jesus, turn away from your sin and invite him into your life. Judgment is coming to this world, that's for sure. And there's only one way of escape, and that's through salvation in Jesus Christ. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there's one serious reality we all need to face, that everything we've planned, achieved, built, or even invented will come to an end. It's a sobering thought, really, but the most important question is, did we find out what the will of God was for our lives? And did we live for his purpose and not for our own? And now in his message called The End, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And then the Bible tells us about the day of God. This is the day that all of us as believers will enjoy, the day of God. According to the Bible, the day of God is what you and I would say is the day that eternity begins. So watch this, everybody. You have to watch my hands because I don't know how else to say it, but without my hands. What's coming is the day of the Lord. And that's the vengeance of God on earth. You can read the book of Revelation for details. Today at any time is the day of Christ where you can accept him now as Lord and Savior. It's certainly the day of Jesus Christ is when the church is caught up. It's referred to as the day of Christ. And God dealing with his people, the day of Christ. But then there's the day of God. When the reign of Jesus has come to a complete, that is going to be the millennium, that's 1,000 years from Jerusalem, that hasn't happened yet. When all that you and I have known in this physical realm is done away. When you read here that things are melted with the elements and the burning and the fervent heat, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, that day is the day of God. It's one day. It is eternal. You know when you say or when you think about eternity? Oh, I just think about eternity. Watch this. What do you mean? As believers, we need to ask, wait, what are you thinking right there? Wait, what is that one? So for example, oh, I can't wait to see Jesus on his throne in Jerusalem, and we will have come back with him in Revelation 19, and it's going to be amazing. I just love thinking about forever. Technically, that's going to last 1,000 years. Are you with me? Listen up, everybody. At the end of 1,000 years, this all changes. Everything physical would be changed. So, well, what about the forever and ever thing? Forever. Oh, you're talking about the day of God. Are you with me? This gets very technical. And look, now you're seeing why pastors don't teach much about it. It gets kind of confusing. I should have a map. But it matters to you. Because you want to be in the day of God in heaven with him forever. And you want to, listen, you want to have the day of Jesus Christ in your life starting even now. What you don't want to do is reject those offers and wind up being a participant in the day of the Lord, of his great vengeance. Why would you do that when he has gone to such great lengths? No, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 12, we read it a moment ago. In fact, I wonder if you noticed it. Back in verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come. And then look at verse 12, looking for and hastening the day of God. God. Two different days, not the same, not even the same meaning. So church, listen, verse 10 tells us that the end is really something that is superimposed upon all of us. It's in our hearts, the thought of the end. Everything comes to an end. We shouldn't be surprised by that. I did a little snooping around, and did you know this? The sun itself is shrinking 5 million tons of hydrogen per second. It's shrinking. Did you know the sun's shrinking? It's not shrinking fast enough, in my opinion, by the temperature outside, but it's shrinking. 5 million tons of hydrogen per second, the sun is shrinking. You say, I can't even fathom that. That's my point. How about this? To the best of estimates, human death rate per hour in the world is 11,000 people every minute die in the world. It's the best they can tell. But you can't fathom that. The volume of water going over Niagara Falls. I can't fathom this. I've seen it, but I didn't know that it's 6 million cubic feet per second. I don't even know what that means. I have a garden hose. That's all I know. But isn't it interesting that we may or may not know the answer to what God says, or do we even believe in God, or whoever we might be in this world, but we all have this superimposed reality that the end is something that is witnessed within us. Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, talks about that day of the Lord. For behold, the day is coming, listen to this, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble or be made to be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up. Church, listen, this is serious stuff. It's in the Bible. Nobody wants to talk about this. But God says the day's coming, proud people that do wicked, they're going to be like stubble when I'm done with them. Is he really going to do that? Well, let me ask you this. There's that witness inside about the end. There's also the witness inside of you about what's right and what's wrong, isn't there? You can look at something and say, that's right. You can look at something else, that's wrong. Are you watching what's going on? For example, what do you think this verse, if you don't think that's true, then just let me try to get you to see what maybe this cubic foot of water or this burn rate of hydrogen, or just begin to flirt with your imagination. If God is God, if God is holy, if God says my vengeance is rising, right now you've got the opportunity to accept my son's grace and forgiveness, but my vengeance is rising. And there's going to be a day that comes, and it's going to be like a burning oven. This is the eternal nature of God. And God looks and he sees the lawlessness in Portland and the destruction of life and beatings and the mayhem, lawlessness, wickedness, stealing, pillaging. And God says, that's wickedness. Notice this. He's never going to ask you your opinion on it. Well, Pastor, you said that today, and I really don't think that. I think they're just freedom fighters. Don't even waste your breath, because my opinion and your opinion is zero to God. God says they're doing wickedness. It doesn't have to be something like that alone. It can be the fact that you're cheating on your wife. God says that's wickedness. It could be that you're manhandling your child. God says, that's wickedness. Are you hearing me? No one escapes this. God looks down from heaven and he says, you know what? When I'm done, they're going to be like stubble. The day's coming. Unless we repent. Unless we cry out to God. The day is coming. In fact, look at that verse in Malachi 4. Keep going. It's going to be like the coming. He says, the day which is coming shall be... shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Look at verse 2. But to you who fear my name, The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Do you hear this? You hear this? You say, oh my goodness, what? Yeah, listen, without Jesus, the front end of that verse applies to you. But with Jesus, the front end is canceled by Christ. And the second part of that verse is yours. He will bring healing in his wings to your life. The end is coming. The day of vengeance is coming. Christ reserves the right that at any moment he will remove the church whenever he does that. That's his business. But it's going to happen. God has promised this. And what do we do with such things? You can tell just by the atmosphere. And here, this is what's called a negative church growth sermon. This is what you teach to make more parking spots for next week. But it will come. It will come. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is speaking to the church at Sardis. He says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. We're to be ready. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, Jesus in the Olivet Discourse says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house would have known what hour the thief would come, think about that in your own life right now. If you knew what hour the thief was going to break into your house, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 44, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Amazing. That verse, listen, theologians in the house, that verse applies now, but technically it applies to the tribulation period leading up to the second coming of Christ. That's written to the Jewish people in Matthew 24. But we want to be very careful about that. And here's, we're out of time. Here's the last thing. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Pay close attention. Remember, I just told you that the day of the Lord is the day of vengeance. He says it comes like a thief in the night. For when they say, not you, they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. Notice the contrast, verse 4. But you. And by the way, this is my prayer for you in this church. Verse 4 is my prayer for you in this church. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. See the difference here? The people who are living life, they're not even thinking about Jesus coming back, but they know down inside when they pause long enough to think that the end is coming. When you're young, you think there'll never be an end. I think I've told you guys this before. I had a general tell me, United States Army general tell me, that at his age, being a general, he says, yeah, we command everything. We're way good distance away from the battlefield. We're commanding the battle from this location. We send all the young guys to go take care of it. Because when you're older, you realize how frail life is, but those young guys don't think anything's going to happen to them. You give them a rifle or whatever, and they run to the front. Why? Because they think the other guy's going to get killed, not them. But when you're older, it's like, oh my goodness, wait a minute, I got to get past this curb. Why? Because you appreciate everything more, you know? It's like, watch it. Right? We're smarter. If there's a battle, get those young guys, go get them, take the hill, you go. And you think like that as a young person. Oh, I can sin, I haven't gotten caught yet, nobody knows, woo, this is amazing. And then you start waking up at times just like this, that God knows exactly what you did last Saturday night. God knows exactly where you were back in 2017 on that Friday. See, nobody knows. God knows. And he's been waiting and he's patient. You may be living right now today and you think, oh, everything's pretty good. And that thing that happened back there 30 years ago, nobody knows. God knows. And you know that he's been bringing it up to you and he's been speaking it to you and you've been pushing it out of the way. He knows. Superimposed upon us is the reality of the end. Jonathan Edwards, the greatest mind that America has ever produced to this day. Jonathan Edwards. Brilliant, genius, philosopher, thinker. Jonathan Edwards said, I'm going to live my life here on earth for the glory of God to such an extent. Listen to this. It's going to sound weird to you. To such an extent that I am going to live for God's glory so that I may achieve the greatest amount of pleasure with him in eternity forever. He said, what? He had it right. I want to so live for God. I keep my eye on eternity. I keep my eye on the target. I keep my eye on the finish line, Jesus the shore, in such a way that when my life is lived and when it's over, I will have invested in heaven. You can close your Bibles. You can stand. Listen. No, really, you can stand. Listen. The witness of God that the end is superimposed upon us is so overwhelmingly evident. All things, as we studied last time together, all things physical is unraveling. All things. Everything. The sun is burning up 5 million tons of hydrogen a second. It's unraveling. It's coming to an end. I saw a guy the other day. Oh, well, I don't know if it was a guy or not. I couldn't see the car. Black tinted windows, brand new paper plates, Lamborghini. And I heard it coming. Coming up behind me. Oh my God. I grabbed my phone and I put it on video. I did. And I'm like in the mirror and I'm looking, it's coming. And then I hit, and it's, and I got goosebumps thinking about it even now. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And so he got on, heading northbound on the 55 freeway. And so I punched it, man. And I got my video going. And I'm like, come on. I have an expedition. It's just not that fast. But that thing, bam, he's just going in and out of traffic like that. He's gone. And by the way, that person was driving, they were young, perhaps. The new car. And you think they're thinking for a moment, the end is near. Not a bit. You know when they'll think about the end being near? The first time it gets a dent. Have you noticed? You're so paranoid about your car until it gets the first dent. And then it's like, it's over. Why? Because we know these things are unraveling. The sun's burning out. Your car's going to get scratched if it's not. Your body, it's got to watch out for that curb. What's going on? The end is approaching. But you can be so ready for the end that it's actually very exciting. Now, we didn't get to the fun part yet. That's for next time. But the end for the believer, I am kind of bummed we even call it the end. We should start looking at it this way, the end of this stuff. Can you imagine? The end of this stuff. We're coming to the end of this stuff. Can you imagine? Been ministering lovingly. Lisa and I have been just praying so often for years now for a little baby in this church with her parents. She's 4 years old. She's had the worst cancers since birth. And she's had nothing but pain. She hasn't anything else but pain and surgeries. And when I think about the end, I think about the end of that stuff. I think about the end of all the things that just makes God sick. Listen, friend. It's time for you to trust Jesus right now. Let's pray before the end comes and you miss the right side of eternity. Father, Lord, right now as we're standing here, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for the man, the woman, the boy, or the girl right now hearing this, that they have the witness inside. They know that an end is coming and they need to decide. When the end comes, where will they be? And Lord, I pray right now that there'd be those that are saying in their hearts now to you, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, dear God, to change my life. I hear this. I don't understand everything that's being said and I don't get it all, but I understand there's truth here. Your word. And I heard today that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he rose again from the dead. Friend, if that's you today, right now, where you're at, you tell him in your own words, in your own heart, right here, right now, you tell him, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to be your follower. Jesus, I'm giving my life to you now. And I want my eternity settled. I want my past washed away. I want to start new. And I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want my sins forgiven, and I want to have a brand new life to the glory of God that I might enjoy you forever. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you what I am. I come this morning, Lord, fumbling before you, but I've heard that you save, and I'm asking you to save me and to make me your child. Come inside of me. Take over my life. And I ask that in Jesus' name. My friends, today, if you've prayed that prayer at the end of this song, you can come up here and get a Bible and meet pastors that will welcome you into the family of God. But know this, if you've sincerely prayed that prayer, God has heard you, and he will even begin now. He started already during the service to transform your thinking and your life. And know this, that the end for the believer is just the beginning of the greatest, greatest relationship, an experience that shall never end, eternal with the Father forever. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The End, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. The End, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Do you feel the growing tide of hostility in this world? It's almost unavoidable. The frustration, the outrage, and the victim mentality that takes over respect and reason. But how do we share our faith in a society that's godless? And how do we stay rooted in biblical truth in such an angry world? And how do we continue to publicly testify for Jesus? Our book of the month for August is called We Will Not Be Silenced, written by Erwin Lutzer. It prepares us to live out our faith by gaining a better understanding of legitimate hurts like racism, sexism, and poverty. When our culture gives us a toxic response and disguises it as a solution, We Will Not Be Silenced shows us how to respond to those outside the faith with compassion and gentleness without affirming their beliefs. So, are you ready to move beyond fear and boldly represent Christ? Our world is watching what we do, and the world needs Jesus right now more than ever. We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer is a must-read for strength and encouragement. And it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.